2 Kings chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 1 through 14. It's a little passage there that speaks of a man named Naaman and a experience he had with Elisha and the healing power of God. And we're going to look at that, hopefully, when I get there. Now I'm ringing. I'm different than... we're going to read this passage, and if you get nothing else out of this, it's a very simple message, and if you wanted to put a simple title to it, you'd call it Keep It Simple. Okay, so if I can get that planted in you, maybe we can get something done. Let me pray and see if we can get God involved in this. Father, I lift up Pastor at this moment. I know that he's in a pulpit and trying to attempt the same thing I am, Lord. And we both know that this is your work. It's done your way, and it's according to your will. And, Father, we are just vessels that have sought you earnestly, have looked in your word, and believe that the things that we're about to speak of are your truths and have been sent from you to the folks that are here. Father, I pray that you can take this message and move me out of the way. I pray that the only spirit that operates within these walls is the Holy Spirit, and that folks will actually not hear from Randy today, but they'll hear from God. And that through that, that hearts will be comforted, that souls may be convicted, they may be corrected. Lord, we all need it. And Father, I pray that we all have an open heart to receive exactly what you'd have each one of us receive out of this message. And Father, I pray these things sincerely in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read the passage, and then we're going to just go through it and look at some things that the Lord dealt with me about. That's normally the way these things go, is the preacher is the first one that gets preached to. And by the way, it's extremely hot up here under these lights. So, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. And now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought many away and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his Lord, saying, Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, Go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, Now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, Am I God, to kill and to make alive, that this man does send to me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. And it was so, when Elisha, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away, and said, Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me, and stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place, and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith unto thee, Wash and be clean? Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto him like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? You know, we always, and I'm guilty, we always make things harder than they are. We always make things harder than they are. Naaman had a problem, and his problem had a very simple fix. And it was just to wash and be clean. And so I want to look at this passage today, and I want just 3 points. You can go ahead and don't start zipping up your Bibles or anything. But we got 3 points, and hopefully you'll take a deep breath and relax and see if the Spirit of God can minister some of this to you in a way that is going to help you. It truly helped me. The first thing that we need to, if we're going to keep things simple, is we need to keep a simple perspective. A simple perspective. Look in verse 1. Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria. This was not your average guy. He was the head of the army of Syria. I don't know how old he is. I don't know whether he was just a young man that grew exceedingly fast and was his ranking went up, or whether he was an older man. I don't know. But I know one thing. He was the captain of the host of the king of Syria. And he was a great man with his master, being the king. The king thought very highly of Naaman. And he was willing, as you'll see, to do anything to try to help Naaman. It says here that he was honorable. Honorable. I guess Naaman had fought enough fights and done enough things that he had received honor from the king and from the people in Syria. And so he was a man of honor. Okay? But here's the reason he was a man of honor. It said, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. It says he was also a man, mighty man of valor. He was a mighty fighting man. You know, he was successful. He was honorable. He was a mighty man of valor. And what was the reason for all of that? God. Simple. It's real simple. His success, his honor, his man of valor, everything that got him to where he was, it says it was because by him the Lord had delivered Syria. His favor, all of the things that he enjoyed were not because of him, it was because of God. Can I remind everyone in here, the Bible says, Paul said to the Romans, he said, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul goes on in the book of Galatians to say, for if a man think himself to be something, he is nothing. He deceiveth himself. Okay? We fall into that trap every time. We fall into it daily. We need to keep a simple perspective of just who we are. I imagine Naaman, after all of this, we will look at the rest of the story. He was a big shot. He was a big shot. He was a big fish in his pond. And I have seen big fish in little ponds get in big trouble. And I've seen big fish in little ponds go move to big ponds and be real upset because they weren't the big fish in the pond anymore. What I'm trying to get you to understand is everybody needs to take a deep breath and just look at yourself as the way God looks at us. Okay? And we're not, if we think to be something, we're nothing. We're deceiving ourselves. Here's the deal. He was a mighty man. He had success. He had honor. He had brought deliverance to Syria. He's on top of the world. But look at that last phrase. But he was a leper. But he was a leper. In the Bible, leprosy is a perfect typology of sin. Of sin. You read through your Bible, and just about everywhere they got leprosy, you can put sin, and it fits. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with leprosy. Brother Tillman over in Thailand and Mongolia especially, he has leper colonies. He's been working over there for years and years and has lived with these people and has not contracted it. And that's by the grace of God. That's one of those examples that he succeeded because of God. But leprosy is one of those diseases that it's a death sentence. You know, when you get leprosy, there's no cure. It is going to eat at you until you die. In Sunday school, we quoted a verse, the wages of sin is death. Sin is going to kill every one of us. It's going to kill that flesh that you're in. And leprosy was going to kill him. Another thing about leprosy is it eats away pieces of your fingers, and then it eats off the nose and the ears. It just eats away the pieces of your body. And that's exactly what sin will do to every one of us. It eats away at you. And you know what the part that we don't like, that we try to deny? Others can see it. When you got leprosy, you can't hide it. It shows. And when you've got sin eating away at your life, it shows. It shows to others. And so Naaman had a serious problem. He had a deadly disease. It was going to kill him. Now, I don't know how long he had had it. I don't know if he just contracted it. I don't know. But I do know he had leprosy, and I know leprosy kills. And I know he had a king that wanted to do everything he could to help him be cured of this. Now, we all have this same problem. We've got this sin problem. And whether we're saved or not, this morning in Sunday school, we went over the fact that it's in your flesh. And whether you're saved or not, you have this infirmity in your flesh. You have sin in your flesh, and your only battle against that sin is the Lord Jesus Christ and your obedience unto the things that are true, the good things, choosing the good and refusing the evil. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Remember that other verse? It said, if a man thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. We run around, and we deceive ourselves. And if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we all have the same problem Naaman had. So what I want to do is I want to look at this passage, and I want to see, you know, one thing I can tell you the end. Naaman, he got clean. It worked out okay? But he went through some things, and some things here that are going to be, it was helpful to me to look at this, and I hope it's helpful to you. And if nothing else, if right now, if you're just looking at yourself and trying to keep a simple perspective of who you are, we already got the collection, we can just amen and go to lunch, go to Luby's. Okay? But no, the second point I want you to look at is, besides having a simple perspective of who you are, we need to keep away from simple presumptions. Simple presumptions. Look in verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So evidently during one of these ventures out, he had captured this little girl, and she... he took her home to be a personal maid for his wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of the leprosy. And one went in, now we don't know who that is, but somebody heard this. One went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. And look what the king's response to this was. The king of Syria said, go to, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now, when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman, my servant, to thee, that thou mayest recover him of leprosy. You know, this keeping away from simple presumptions. The first simple presumption that all of us do is that we take whatever power or influence God has allowed us to have. Naaman had a lot of power and influence, and he worked for a man that had a lot of power and influence. And so our first response when trouble shows is to go straight to our power or our influence. This king of Syria, he didn't know God. He didn't know nothing. He just heard somebody say, if you go down there, you can get healed of leprosy. Okay? And so he said, I'll write a letter. I doubt if he even wrote the letter. I bet he got somebody to write it for him. You know what I mean? But he figured, I've got enough power, I've got enough authority, I'll just send a letter to that king, and he'll fix Naaman up. And I tell you what we'll do. We'll just send some silver and some gold and some changes of raiment and pay whatever the price is. No problem. No problem. You know, we get... a lot of times we get the misconception that, I'm going to assume, and after church you can tell me, but I'm going to assume everyone in here has some type of sin in their life. Okay? You can all look right now real stern at me like you don't. But God knows better. Okay? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So I'm going to assume that everybody has some kind of sin in their life. And stay away from this simple presumption, is that you can fix it by yourself. Okay, if you could fix your sin problem by yourself, then Jesus Christ didn't need to do any of the stuff he did. Okay? You can't. You can't fix it. You can alter it. You can prolong it. You can call it something else. You can color it another color. You can hide it in a little secret place and only go to it every once in a while. But I'm telling you what, you cannot by your power or your influence affect or, like the Bible, like it said here, wash and be clean. You can't do that. But I know who can. I know who can. The Lord Jesus Christ can and does. And whether you're saved or unsaved, what I'm trying to get apart is you can't do this by yourself. You need somebody else. Naaman had no chance to fix his leprosy. He had a death sentence. He needed somebody else, and you know what? He didn't even know why he needed him. He didn't even know who he needed. But God arranged some circumstances and got him to who he needed. A lot of y'all can raise your hand if I ask if you're a saved, born-again child of God in here. And you know the reason for that? God got you into some circumstances and took you through some things so that you got to a place where you found the fix for that. But it wasn't your power. It wasn't your power. And it's not by our power. So that's one simple presumption that we should not make, is that we have the power to fix these kind of things. The other simple assumption to stay away from, and this is the biggie. This is the biggie. The king of Syria not only tried to use his power and his influence with the king of Israel, but what he did is he had a plan. He had a plan. How many of y'all, when trouble shows up, you got a plan? I mean, that's why I thrive on making plans, okay? And making plans, if it turns out this way, I got a plan. If it turns out that way, I got a plan, you know? And what we all do is we take our plans, we roll them up, and we go to the Lord and we go, approve this, make this happen, build this. I do it. You're all looking at me like, we don't do that. I just wait for the Lord to show me everything. And I'm happy when he just takes my blueprints and just tears them in half. No. No, what we make these simple presumptions that God is going to take our plan and do His will with it. And Pastor preached just a wonderful message the other night about it was a great message, I forgot it. You get up here, you forget all kinds of things. Whatsoever seemeth him good. Yeah, I was there. That was good. Believe it or not, God is in charge, has always been in charge, and will always be in charge. And when we make simple presumptions that we have a plan to make things work out, we make big, big mistakes. Let me show you something here. You got in verse 7, it says, "And it came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter that he rent his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of leprosy?'" He thinks he's coming over just to pick a fight with him. Because nobody, as wicked as the kings of Israel were, He had it planted in his mind, in his heart, healing leprosy is something I can't do. And if anybody's expecting me to do that, this is wrong. Okay? So why would anyone in here believe that if you have some kind of problem or some kind of sin problem especially, that that you can get a plan and get it fixed. You can't. You can't. It takes this, here it took Elisha to get with God and get it fixed. And it takes some help. The point I want to make, that king of Israel, he rent his clothes, he's boo-hooing, he said, this is nothing I can do. But he had enough God in him to know that that was the truth. Okay? When you come across a problem, that's why this is such, I just love this church. I always have. I love this church. I love our pastor. I love the folks in this church. Because there's not a problem one that you can't come to our pastor with. And number one, he is competent not to give you his opinion. He's competent to give you what God says about your problem. And he's competent enough not to get a big powder puff and put makeup on it. He will call it what it is. And you need that when you have a problem. You need that when you have a problem. Naaman had leprosy. There was no doubt what his problem was. There was nobody going to meet with Naaman and try to cover it up, put a little lipstick on it, and make it go away. And what we have here in this church, and what I pray that you'll take advantage of, you've got the words of God. You can read them for yourself. But when there comes a problem or a sin or something in your life, you've also got a pastor that you can come to in confidence, and he will help you see in the Bible what God says about how to fix your problem. Does that make sense? And I know many of y'all have taken him up on that. And I encourage you to do that. And we also have folks in this church that have been through almost every problem that I can think of. Okay? We have folks in this church that have lost spouses and have lost children. We've got folks in this church that have went bankrupt, that have made money. We've got all of those things. And this is your church family. You ought to be able to go to someone in your family and get godly counsel. And I'm telling you, I can't think of a better church in the world than this one. I happen to know this one a little more personally than those. But I know that you have a place. You see, he sent this letter, and the king of Israel threw his hands up and go, you know, this ain't in my league. But Elijah, God always has another man in line to help you with these problems, to identify the problem and show you not what he says, but what God says about the problem. It's very, very simple. You know, we come up with these plans. Look at this. Verse 9. Naaman shows up at Elijah's house. Now, he's already done the letter, and the king's going, oh, I can't heal leprosy. You know, and so I don't know what Naaman's response to that was, but he'd already come here. He's got all the payola. He's got all the pomp and circumstance, and he has come to get healed. Okay? He has a determination. He shows up at the house in verse 9. So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of Elijah's house. So here it is. I mean, he's ready. He's ready. And Elijah sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again unto thee, and thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, underline that if you like to write in your Bible, I thought. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Acknowledge him in all thy ways, and he shall direct thy paths. Is that simple? It's very simple. We make that a lot harder. This I thought stuff, I can... There may be somebody in here that came here today, and I thought that Brother Welder was going to be in the pulpit. And I thought when I got here in Sunday school that he'd be teaching the lesson. And I've actually seen people turn and go away wroth and not stay at church because the man that they thought would be in the pulpit wasn't there. I'm like Paul. I feel like I'm the least of the staff members. Okay? But I can guarantee you this. Any man that pastor puts in this pulpit, you can trust that he's going to tell you something straight from the words of God. If you came here today, pastor has all the confidence in the world that I'm going to get up here and that I have put the time and the prayer, a lot of prayer, into preparing a lesson or a sermon so that God's words get what he wanted to say today to this crowd at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. And that's all my job is a messenger, to get with God and see what he wanted to say. And we have folks, we've had them in the past and we'll have them in the future, that come to church, and because I've even had them call before church, it saves gas. They can call before church, go, yeah, Bible believers about church. Yeah, who's preaching today? Oh man, it's true. That's Naaman standing there in front of Elijah's house waiting for Elijah to show up. And you know what? Elijah sent a messenger. And he said, go tell him. Well, today, pastor sent a messenger. He said, go tell him. So go away wroth. Okay? We got to stay away from simple presumptions. And this I thought thing is it's rampant. And we always have our plan. I know, I don't know how many times I have been through circumstances and situations, and Maureen and I, we sit down and we pray. And then, you know, it's normal. This plan thing is normal. I'm not saying it's abnormal. It's normal. We sit down and go, okay, if this happens, then this, and this will happen. And if this goes, then this, and this will go. And we've got it all figured out. And it's down to, it's going to go this way or that way. And the Lord will show you it's not going to go either one of those. He can take those and twist them and put them different ways. He cannot use anything you thought. You know, he's still in charge. And so this planning thing, it really wastes a lot of time. And what it does, it shows God that you're trying to be in. You're presuming a lot of stuff that you shouldn't be presuming. It's way simpler that just keep it simple and just do the things that God has there in front of you. If you know, I don't know how much time elapsed between Naaman getting mad and running off when Elijah just sent a helper out to tell him. And when he finally got to talk to his other servants and actually went to the Jordan and dipped in there. I don't know. It could have been a week, it could have been a month, it could have been 5 minutes, I don't know. But I know that time elapsed there, and you know what that time was? It slowed down the final process. Okay? So I know I have been mad because God didn't bless my plans that I had assumed. And I know you have. You won't admit it. It's a hard crowd today. You just won't admit it. But that's okay. Now, the other part of this assumption about your plan, you all do it, and you don't admit it. But here's one thing that it's human nature. It was very, very simple. Naaman, go dip in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh is going to be new like a baby. Very simple. None of us want things to be that simple. I know some of you that grew up in the Catholic Church. It's not that simple. They've got a whole routine of things you need to go through and do. And you need to keep doing them over and over. And really, when someone comes to the book, to God, and says, you know, I got this problem with this, fill in the blank. You know, the solution is really simple. I'll go ahead and give it to you. Don't do that. Isn't that profound? But what we want is we want something. We don't want anybody to tell us that. You know, it's simple. Now, everything I'm telling you that's simple doesn't mean that it's easy, doesn't mean that it's convenient, but it is simple. Okay, we talked in Sunday school this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability to, how he lived a sinless life. He simply obeyed God. He chose good and refused evil. And how did he do it? He had the instruction book. He didn't even have as much of it as you have. We have the complete set. He only had a few volumes. But here's the point. We don't want things to be that simple. And this is why. If I go to Milton and I say, Milton, I got this problem with blah, blah, blah. Now, he can give me the short, sweet answer, quit doing it. Or he can give me, you know, if you'll go here and do this, and then if you'll buy some of this, and then and give me a whole list of things. The bigger the list, the better. Okay? Because that gives me this many excuses why I couldn't do it. Think about that. You want this thing to be technical and difficult because you get all of those excuses when you fail. If it's something like, I need to do this, and it will quit doing that. It's like the joke, you know, you go to the doctor, this hurts when I do this. Don't do that. Okay? Jamie, don't do that. It'll hurt. See, she accepts it right now without anything else. It's simple. I'm going to give you now is a testimony. Quickly, a testimony. I am not in any way implying any of this on you. I'm giving you this as an example in my life. Okay? I stood in this pulpit replacing, standing in for pastor almost a year to the day ago. I looked, because when you do this, you go look, well, did I preach that? You know, yeah, that kind of stuff. So I looked and I saw what I preached a year ago. I'm sure you all have it in, you got the notes. Yeah. As I stood in this pulpit a year ago, I weighed 87 pounds more than I do today. And I praise God for the difference. But my testimony is this, and I'm like you. I don't like skinny people telling me to quit eating. I never have. And I still don't like it. Okay? But I want to tell you this because this is the truth. Lots of people ask me, how did you do it? How did you do it? And I go, well, you know, I got a phone app. You know, I don't have my phone up here. I got a phone app. And you know, lose it, and you just da-da-da-da, and it tells you how many calories you're eating, you da-da-da-da. Well, yeah, that was a tool that I used. Let me tell you why I lost weight. Honest truth. The Lord has been dealing with me about my weight my entire life. Okay? I was the fat kid in school. If you're the fat kid in school, I know what you go through. I do. I've been there. Okay? The fat kid in school, I don't know if they still do it. When at PE, do they still have PE? Boy, this may be really dated. But the fat school kid in school, when they divide up at PE and they're going to play football, and they say, okay, your shirts and your skins. Do you know how hard I prayed to be shirts? But no, that's just little things. But God has showed me my whole life how uncomfortable it is to be overweight. I went through a whole many seasons as a plumber and trying to fit under cabinets and digging ditches and stuck under houses. Truly. No, I've been there. I've done all that. I know that. He has dealt with me, and over the years I have lost weight. I went on Atkins, or I did on cookie diet or the whatever, and I'd lose weight, and then I'd just go back to eating. You know, once you eat, you don't eat carbs for 6 months, you lose weight, man. First thing you want to do is go to all you eat buffet and eat macaroni and cheese, rice and potatoes, and you just got to catch back up. And so you go right back where you were. This time, last year, right after Christmas, we had family over, they're leaving, and I am so uncomfortable. Gloated, bloated, hurting. I have two bad knees, no cartilage. Both of them been scoped. And I am a mess. And the Lord said, why don't you wash and be clean? And I said, that's the first time the Lord showed me. Now this is me. I'm not putting this on anybody. He showed me that I wasn't overweight. He showed me that I was a glutton. He showed me I was a glutton. When I got that simple perspective, I got rid of all the simple presumptions. And you know what he did? He made it real simple. He called it what it was. And when I saw it for what the way God saw it, I decided, you know what I need to do? Real simple. Don't eat as much. And for the last 10 months, I have not eaten as much. And I'm here to tell you, it's not because of an app, and it's not because of me. I couldn't do this. It's because I love Jesus Christ. And the way I was acting was wrong. Okay? It was sin. It's leprosy. And you talk about killing, I understood how it was killing me. I've got a DNA for heart problems. I've got bad knees. This stuff was killing me. It's a perfect picture of leprosy and sin in the Bible, how it was affecting me. I am not preaching to anybody out there. I'm telling you my story, and I want you to see it, because God showed me what it was, and I said the simple solution is, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. And I can tell you right now, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm done. Simple perspective, simple presumptions. I want you to just get this. Verses 13 and 14. His servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, thou wouldest done, not done. Wouldn't thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he said to thee, Wash and be clean. And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a child, and he was clean. Every one of us needs to try to do this. Have a simple perspective. You know, just look at your life and make it. You know what God sees. Just simple. Stay away from these simple presumptions where that I can fix it, my power or my plan can do anything. And finally, keep your Christianity simple. Keep it simple. The man of God said, wash and be clean. How simple is that? We come here every time the doors are open and pastor gets up, preaches out of this book, and unless you are just deaf, you hear God speaking to you and telling you things out of the book. And the solutions are simple. There's nothing in here that's complicated. We make it complicated because it's not convenient. I don't want to do it. Can you call it something else so I don't have to do it? It's those kind of things get involved in it. But here's one point I want to make. Look back in verse 2. The Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said to her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Here's a little maid in the house of her master, and she says to the master's wife, You know what? He's got a problem. It's deadly, and I know who can fix it. That's all she said. And you know what? Word got out from there. I don't know who this other person is, but they got to the king and they told him. And the king wrote letters and did all kinds of things and got Naaman over to Israel. And they went to the king of Israel, and he couldn't do anything, but the king of Israel got him to Elijah. And you know what? When he got to Elijah, he got the words of God and he got fixed. We make telling others a lot bigger and a lot harder than it is. I do it too. It's very, very simple. All you got to do is tell them where you got what you have. And that's all she did. That's all she did. She didn't know any Bible. She didn't quote any scriptures. All she did was tell somebody else that had leprosy, that was dying, where they could get fixed. And every one of you in here know where you can get fixed. Every one of us do. I pray that somehow God has spoken to somebody in here. I know He spoke to me. To make my life and my Christianity a lot more simpler than we all want to make it. Number one, look at yourself and make it simple. We're all sinners. And if you think you're somebody, you're not. You're deceiving yourself. And we all have sin. And we all need help to get that fixed. Keep the right perspective. Keep it simple. Stay away from the presumptions that you got a plan that's better than God's. Or you've got power, you got influence, or I can get this done, or I can get that done. Or maybe if I just move to another town, How about that?
That'll fix it.
All that does is change the location of your misery. Okay? So, like I say, keep a simple perspective. Avoid simple presumptions and keep your Christianity simple. If God says, don't do that, what's the answer? Don't do that. And if God says, do that, what do you do? Do that. Is that hard? Yes, it's hard. Caught you. Is it simple? Yes, it's simple. It's very simple. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You know, I just, I get with God and I see what He's going to give me, and I know He always deals with me first, and He really did, and I thank the Lord for it. My prayer is, number one, if there's a Christian in this room, that they would not leave here today with a sin or with a any kind of issue in their life. That they know the answer. This is not a room full of ignorant folks. You are Bible Believers Baptist Church. You know the answers. They're in your lap. You have access to counselors and pastors that will give you the right answers. Don't leave here choosing evil and refusing good. Don't do it. Right now, it's very simple to, when we pray in a minute and have an invitation hymn, that you just come up here, get with God, get her done, and get over it, and move on. If you're in here and you're lost today, you know, I didn't preach the gospel, but I preached about the main point of that gospel is that you've got a God that's already done all the hard work. He's already done it all. Naaman had no chance in finding God, but God did all the work. He'd made all the arrangements to get Naaman hooked up with Him. And God has already done the work in your life to get you hooked up with Jesus Christ. And if you want to know more about how to get hooked up with Jesus Christ, I'm going to stay right here at this altar after the service is closed. You come to me and it won't take but a few minutes. And I won't tell you what I think. I'll tell you what God says. And then you can just make a simple choice. Father, I just thank You for the day. I thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word. I pray that, Lord, every one of us would keep it simple. Keep it simple with You. Keep it simple with this Bible. Do the things, Lord, that You just almost beg us to do. Be in church. Read our Bible. Pray. Just foundational, fundamental things, Lord, and how very, very important they are, and yet how very simple they are. Father, I pray that You'd help each one of us, each and every one of us, get something out of this today. And not only get it, Lord, but do something with it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.